If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini
l'Islami, dini. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker as always. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to business according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, generally, Sheikh Javid, what's the view on wearing American clothes?
Well, and to be honest, according to the religious authorities, there is no objection to wearing clothes made in in countries like the United States of America or non-Muslim countries, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, for example, these clothes are made by the enemies of Islam does not affect the permissibility of wearing such clothes, okay? And however, if wearing clothes, American clothes, let's say the example you gave, leads to some kind of promoting the un-Islamic culture or the culture which is diametrically opposed to Islam,
mm-hmm.
and that's the culture of the enemy, and if it leads to strengthening the economies, which is in turn used in colonizing and exploiting Muslim countries, so in that case, it is problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even permissible to wear such clothes which would help those imperial powers or imperialistic countries to get further strengthened and to get further the chance to attack Muslims or to harm Muslims by their culture and by their means available to them.
Shachavi, depending on where you work or who you work with, people in fact wear in different styles. Sometimes we have formal dress or dress code, and sometimes people wear casually.
Casually.
All right. In some settings, like for example, banks, if you're working for them, you are required to wear ties. Or for some certain or few ceremonies, you need to wear neckties.
Yes.
Or bows, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
My question is that, is it permissible to wear such things like a tie or a necktie or whatever?
Well, that's a good question. When it comes to a tie or necktie, the scholars are somehow polarized. And they have different opinions. For example, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei is of the view that it's not permissible for a Muslim to wear a necktie because he will look like a non-Muslim,
mm-hmm.
a non-Muslim. And that necktie is something that suggests crucifixion, It will label you as someone who believes in Christianity or believes in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's not what we stand for. That's not what Muslims believe in. But when you wear that necktie, you are indirectly telling them that you believe in such a thing. Okay. That's why many religious scholars, as far as I know, have said that it is not permissible to wear a necktie because you look like those non-Muslims. And it's forbidden for a Muslim to make himself look and simulate Islamic non-Muslim culture, non-Muslim way of life, non-Muslim way of clothing.
Okay. But what about suits?
But of course, there's no problem in wearing suits. As I was trying to say that, okay, some scholars nevertheless believe that it doesn't mean that when you are wearing a necktie, you are presenting yourself as a non-Muslim. No.
Mm.
So the scholars differ in their opinion. So according to Ayatollah Sistani, wearing a necktie is permissible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everyone has to follow his own mujtahid in such matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal. It's not a big issue. Of course, wearing necktie can be forbidden. It can be allowable, permissible, depending on who you follow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
And of course, when it comes to wearing a suit, it is quite permissible to wear it.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawhid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to business according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Tawhid, is it permissible for women to be among those people, those individuals, who, for example, offer welcome or offer flowers in some ceremonies held by administrations and the like, justifying it as demonstrating freedom and respect for women in Islamic countries or societies?
You're right. It does not make sense to invite women to participate in ceremonies to welcome foreigners, you know? And it doesn't mean, actually it does not demonstrate that when, for example, where women are invited to participate in such ceremonies, then it means that you are giving freedom and liberty to women, and you are respecting the rights of women. No, of course, if it leads to vile consequences and promotion of un-Islamic culture, according to Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, it is not permissible to do such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we see that it does sometimes constitute such wild consequences, because those who, for example, go to the airport, the ladies who go to the, we see that sometimes they shake hands with non-mahram men, and of course that's one of the wild consequences of women carrying flowers and welcoming people from coming from abroad.
I see. Is it permissible, Sheikh Tawhid, to wear items of clothing bearing the advertisement of alcoholic drinks?
It is not permissible under any circumstances. It's forbidden to wear any clothing, any item of clothing that promotes indecency. And one of the manifestations of indecency is alcoholic beverages.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I've seen a lot of people, including Muslims, in fact, say Merry Christmas to some other people, be it Jews or Christians. Well, I mean, that is it permissible for Muslims to actually use such expressions at all?
Well, according to the religious authorities, it's said, if it is said, then if it means confirmation of their beliefs and practices, it's not permissible, because we are not confirming them in their beliefs and their practices. If congratulating them means confirming their beliefs, confirming and affirming what they are believing in, then it's not permissible.
Like, okay. I mean, like, if you congratulate somebody on the birthday of Jesus Christ, what's the matter with it?
In and of itself, there's no problem, okay? Mm-hmm. If you say, okay, yes, you just congratulate someone on the birthday, because we also believe in the Prophet Jesus.
Exactly,
yeah.
That's the point.
So we are also happy on that day because of the birth of the Prophet Jesus, and there is no problem in and of itself.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Tawhid, and thank you, my dear listeners, for joining us or tuning in to the radio, to IRIB English Radio, for the program Islamic Laws, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws regarding business according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع
لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو